Have you been enjoying these foundations for Kingdom Living?
Yes.
It really revolutionizes the way that you think, the way that you see God. I mean, we're in part three of understanding our identity in Christ. After this, I believe we're going to the true nature of God, which is going to be a paradigm shift for many. But as we get ready to enter in, you probably noticed that I'm a little scruffy. If you want to make Amanda's day, you go up to Amanda and say, "I understand that you begged Chad to grow a beard, and I just want to thank you for that." So just, that'd be funny. Do that. So she loves the way it feels on her cheek. Yeah. So for that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for revelation knowledge that comes from the Word of God. We thank you that each one of us here has the Holy Spirit that's available to teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth. Heavenly Father, we just ask right now that as we hear the Word of God, that the faith of Jesus Christ would rise up within us and grab a hold of it and make it ours, that we would embrace it and it would become part of our innermost being, Lord, that we would see ourselves the way that you see us, and that we'd see this world the way that you see it, and that we would live in the kingdom, in victory. As the picture you showed me this morning in prayer, Lord, is that we are more than conquerors, and that the battlefield we face is not one that we need to fight. It's one that's already been conquered, and all we're doing is going out and picking up the spoils. We thank you for that, Jesus, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In Psalms chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" We need to know what our spiritual foundations are, who we are in Christ. Our lives that we build, the church that we build, our communities, our families, all of those things are only as strong as their foundations. What's your foundation? What's your foundation? And I hear you say Jesus, but what does that mean? You know, how is that lived out? A lot of times, as Christians, we don't think about the things that we say and then learn how to actually apply them to our life, where they become convictions. They become convictions. You know, there's a lot of things that we face in life, and I'm going on a rabbit trail, and I'm going to shoot a couple. Wow. For you, for the other people, I'm just going to trap them and take them to a humane feeding grounds. But anyways, there are things that we face constantly in this world. There is a culture. There's a kingdom that is coming against us constantly, and it looks so good. It looks so tempting. As tempting as the forbidden fruit was to Adam and Eve. But it's a lie. And if we don't know what we believe and why we believe what we believe, and where it becomes a conviction, where it's how we now, everything that we, the way that we live flows from it, we're going to struggle. We're going to fall. And the fear of man will rise up within us. And we can't be a church that fears men. We fear God. Amen? So we're looking at understanding our identity in Christ. And last time we talked, it was before Mother's Day, and we've seen how important it is to speak our new identity. Just as God changed Abram to Abraham, changed Abraham's name to father of a nation, father of many, and he changed Sarai's name to Sarah, which went from princess to mother of princesses. That's a great name, ain't it? Mother of princesses. God has changed our names from alienated sinner to child of God. And we were alienated in our minds. We were alienated in the way that we thought towards God, Colossians says, because of the wicked things that we did. And God has reconciled us unto himself through Christ Jesus. And now you are a child of God. And anyone that wants to join the family can be a child of God. As we've seen in the video today, it's a gift. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, a well-known scripture says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have received a new identity when we became a new creation, right? If it's a new creation, if it's something new, its identity has to change. I don't think you get it. If you have changed, if you became something completely new, then what you were, you no longer can be. That the identity of who you used to be can't be who you are now because you have completely changed your new creation. A new creation, brand new. This is just like God when God created the heavens and the earth. Your spirit is a new creation, one that had never been in existence before. And you're saying, what do you mean, Chad? Wasn't Adam and Eve like us before they fell in sin? No, they weren't. Because they fell. They were pure. They were set apart. They were holy. They were without sin. But it was their spirit. They had their own spirit. Do you know what the difference is between them and us? We weren't recreated with our own individual spirits. We were baptized, submerged into Christ. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. We are one spirit with him. Our spirit. You are forever. You are forever. And this is hard for you to grasp. Your identity forever is one with God. You can't be a child of God without having the same DNA as your father. We were born into authority, we've seen. We were born into wealth. We were born into health. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, go back and get part two of this message. We were born into righteousness and not just righteousness of men. We were born into the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are right. And if you're right, you can't be wrong. In Christ, in Jesus, we were born into wisdom. We were born into the family of God. And what we must do is we must renew our minds so that we can walk out the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God in our lives. You must put off the old man we looked at, and you must put on the new man. You have to do that. That's something you must do. By grace, you've been saved. The new creation has come. Now you must believe the good news. You put off that old identity and you walk in the new identity. How do we do it? By being renewed in the spirit of our mind. And what is the spirit of our mind? It means a new attitude. Being renewed in your attitude on how you see yourself, how you see life. Being renewed in the attitude of your mind. So the truth of the matter is that we all need an attitude adjustment. That's our problem. We need an attitude adjustment. We need to adjust the way that you think about yourself and the way that you see God and see God the way, or see yourself as God sees you. The reason we still struggle with sin is because you don't see yourself in your true identity in Christ Jesus. You know that? We'll get there. See, a lot of people, you know, we talk about grace and we think that it's just, grace is just easy. No, it takes effort to live in grace. It takes effort to live in grace. There is effort in the Christian life, but it's not the effort in disciplining your flesh. It's not doing religious works. It's not doing a religious routine. It's not trying to earn the favor and the love of God. It's not trying to earn your righteousness. It's not trying to be obedient in the flesh. The effort that is required is the renewing of your mind, changing the way that you think. It's so easy. There's a man of God that calls it effortless change. It takes no effort, but it's a lot of work to change the way that you see yourself, to live by faith, to live by faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." Verse 28, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. See, it's not that God will not use people that have ability in the flesh. See, we read this, and for some of us that have low self-esteem, we read that and say, amen, all those people that seem like they got their whole life together, God won't use them. That really opens our eyes to how we see ourselves, huh? He's not saying that God can't use them. He says that he won't use them. Listen, why? He can't use them until they learn not to depend on the flesh, but the Spirit. You remember what Paul said in Philippians 3? Paul, writing about himself, says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Then he goes on to say this about himself, "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks that they have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these things I counted loss for Christ." Paul was just all those things that he said that God didn't choose to use. He was all those things that God said that he doesn't use. And God could not use Paul through the flesh until Paul got to the point where he saw those strengths in the flesh as nothing but dung compared to knowing who he was in Christ and the power of the Spirit. Here's the point of the whole thing. The whole point is, it doesn't matter if you're great in the flesh or you're lacking in the flesh. The flesh doesn't profit you anything in the kingdom of God. The flesh doesn't profit you anything in the kingdom of God. Only those that are mighty in the Spirit can do the works of God. Only those that are confident in who they are in Christ Jesus. See, it all comes down to your identity. What are you confident in? "Well, Chad, I'm not very talented." Good. God can use you. God can use you. That's who he's looking for. He's looking for people that feel that come to the end of themselves and they realize that they have nothing to offer God. God doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us, to live with us, to partner with us, to be in fellowship, in relationship with us. There are two major problems in today's society, and it's been from the beginning of time. The first one is having an identity crisis, and the other one is identity theft. See, many people are in an identity crisis, and all they want to talk about are their problems. I'm going to step on toes, sorry. They say stuff like, you know, I just come from the wrong side of the tracks, or I had the wrong type of parents, or I went to the wrong school, or my boss is, it's just my boss's fault, and I'm the wrong color, I'm the wrong sex. Everything, every problem in their lives is someone else's fault, and they refuse to take responsibility for the way that their life is. They identify, they have an identity crisis. They don't know who they are, and they're getting their identity from everybody else and all other circumstances other than who God says that they are. And we glorify it. It's amazing how many people, as a pastor, you hear, I get praise reports all the time. They're awesome praise reports for the devil. People just come and just tell you everything that's going wrong in their life. And it's different. It's different if you're coming and wanting ministry. If you come and say, Pastor, this has happened in my life. I will you agree with me? Will you pray with me? But that's not the way that they use it. They use it in a way that it makes excuses for their life. And they glorify it. And you might think I'm being mean right now. No, I love you. And that's not who you are. Your identity is not in what your mama did to you or your daddy did to you or your ex-lover did to you or whatever it might be. It's not your social economic level. It's not even your color or your sex. Your identity is in Christ Jesus. And you have to learn to that everything else is a lie and he is truth, even if you're the one that's lying. We lie to ourselves more than anything. And the problem is that you believe yourself more than anybody. If you say I can't do it, guess what? You can't. But if I come to you and say you can't do it, all of a sudden something comes up in you. And the thing of it is we don't believe it. We don't really believe those things about ourselves because, I'm just no good, Chad. I'm just a sinner. If I came up to you and said, you know what? You really are. You're no good. You're just worthless. God can never use you. If I said that to you, you'd get mad. You'd leave. You'd leave the church. You'd never come back. And you should. But you say it to yourself all the time, and you tell other people it all the time. We're lying. You're bearing false witness against yourself. Now listen, I'm not saying that there isn't problems in life. I'm not saying that there's not issues we face, that wrong things haven't happened. But the thing of it is that we've all come from wrong things. We've all have a root in our life that was wrong, and it's called sin. Sin is the cause of all the wrongness that we've ever experienced in life. We all came out of sin, and sin messed up the world. The world that we know today is not the world that God originally created. Sin made the world dysfunctional. So it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter who your parents were, who your boss is, or where you grew up. You know what matters? It matters what you believe about those things. That's what matters. If you believe the word, The Word of God will transform your life. In Romans chapter 6, verse 12, it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Therefore, let's find out why it's therefore. In Romans, we're going to open our Bible. Always good to read the Bible. In Romans chapter 6, verse 5, we're going to start in verse 5. It says, for if we have been united together in his likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Do you see that your identity is in Christ? You have to identify that you died in Christ and that you are also identified in his resurrection. And this isn't talking about resurrection and going to heaven one day. This is talking about you died past tense, you have been resurrected past tense. You're a new creation. Listen to what it says. It says, knowing this, do you know this morning? Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, that's past tense, right? We believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. So if death no longer has dominion over Christ, does it have dominion over you? For the death that he died to sin once for all, that the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're dead to sin and alive to God. Your old identity was in sin. Your new identity is the very life of God. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, because you have died to sin and are no longer slaves to sin, and now the very life of God lives in you, therefore, you don't have to let sin reign in your body. This is something we got to do. And how do you do it? By awakening to who you are in Christ Jesus. And do not present, verse 13, and do not present your members, that's your flesh, as instruments of unrighteousness. And that word instruments is in the Greek is actually weapons. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments, weapons, of righteousness of God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So we need to put off the old man and put on the new man by being renewed in the spirit of our mind, which is the attitude of our mind. You need an attitude adjustment, adjusting the way you think about yourself to the way that God thinks you. The reason that you still struggle with sin is because you don't see yourself in your true identity in Christ Jesus. I don't wear dresses. Chris, do you wear dresses? I don't know why Chris doesn't wear dresses, but I don't because I'm a man. That's my identity. Right? And someone can have a wrong identity. They can truly see themselves as a woman. But just because their identity is wrong, does that make that it true? Not according to science. And we're living in a culture now that you can have a lie for an identity and be forced to embrace that lie and keep people in bondage. Do you understand that? I'm not a sinner. That's not my identity. I'm not a glutton. I'm not an angry person. I'm not a, the list can go on. I'm not a person that lives in unforgiveness. Because that's not my identity. I don't put those things on because I don't see myself that way. And when I do put those things on, guess what that means? My identity is wrong. It's the same thing. The reason why some men dress like women and some women dress like men is because they have the wrong identity. And the reason why some Christians act like the devil is because they got the wrong identity. They have the wrong identity. We live in a culture that no longer believes in absolutes, and we think just because you identify a certain way, then it must be true. That is such a lie from the pit of hell. This is exactly what the Spirit is telling us in Romans, that you used to be in Adam. You used to be in sin. You've seen your identity in that reality, but change your mind because you are a new creation. Your identity has changed. Change the spirit of your mind. Adjust your attitude and the way you see yourself to absolute truth. It might be true that you feel a certain way. It might be true that you see your identity in a certain way, but that's not absolute truth. You are no longer a sinner, but righteous. And if you are righteous, why would you ever act like a sinner? We're in an identity crisis. We have an identity crisis. And I'm not saying that I've totally changed the attitude of my mind. There's lots of times that I don't act the way that I'm supposed to act. And it's an identity crisis. It's not that I've lost my salvation. It's not that all of a sudden I went back to my old nature. No, it's just that I am putting on the wrong garments. I'm putting on the wrong garments. There is effort in the Christian life, but it's not the effort in disciplining your flesh. The effort that is required is that renewing of the mind, putting the old off and putting the new on, changing the way that you think. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray." Beloved, I pray. Don't you want to know what the apostle John prayed for us? Don't you want to know what the disciple whom Jesus loved prayed for us, right? And the pastor that Jesus loved. So John could say it about himself, so I'm going to say it about myself. So he says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." All things. What's interesting about this word, all, it's very, very interesting. In the Greek, the word all, you know what that means? It means all. All things. "And be in health just as your soul prospers." Or in association with the prospering of your soul. The moment that you believe upon Jesus, everything in your spirit changed. But you have to get what's in your spirit out and manifesting in your flesh. That's exactly what John is saying here. He's saying that you can't prosper in your flesh without soul prosperity. And what's your soul? That was one of the foundations. What's your soul? Your mind, will, emotions, your personality, your conscience. That needs to change. It needs to line up with the absolute truth of God, to see yourself the way that God sees you. Your mind needs to prosper in the things of God before it can change your flesh. See, religion tries to get you to change everything externally. And then says, once you get everything to change externally, then you'll be changed internally. But God says, no, that's 180 degrees the wrong direction. He says, be changed internally. And when you are changed internally, everything will change externally. Your spirit is prosperous. Your spirit is prosperous in Christ. Your spirit is whole. It's healthy. It's righteous. Holy. The moment that you believe on Christ. But if you don't renew your mind to what God says about you, and if you don't see yourself the way that God sees you, then the outside of you won't ever change. You change from the inside out, not the outside in. It's not by the works of the flesh, but of the Spirit. How you are on the outside, this is so sad right here, how people are on the outside is a picture that they have about themselves on the inside. The way that you see, the way that you act on the outside is a picture of that you have of yourself on the inside. That's why we need to see ourselves the way that God sees us. And that's the first problem. We have an identity crisis. But then there's the next issue we face, and that's identity theft. We live in a world today, if someone steals your information, they can steal your identity, right? If they can steal the things that gives people information on who you are, then they can steal your identity. And when they steal your identity, it makes a mess of your life, right? It makes a mess of your life, and they can rob you blind of what's yours. This is nothing new. Satan has been doing this for thousands and thousands of years. There was a young man that was in Europe. And he was getting in lots of trouble, but there was a benevolent, merciful, loving, rich, wealthy man that was in Europe. And the young man kept on getting in trouble, and so what he did for the young man and said, in this life, in this life, there is no future for him. There's no hope. So what he did is he purchased a ticket for this young man to go to America, where he can become everything that he was created to be. And so he bought this ticket for the young man, and the young man entered the vessel of the ship. He entered the vessel of the ship, and they started the journey across. And the young man, the ticket was bought from him, and he didn't have very much money or anything like that. And so he had in a handkerchief, he had like some sardines and some crackers, and he was eating on those as they were going across the ocean to get to the promised land. And every day he'd walk the deck eating his sardines and crackers, and he'd walk the deck, and he'd walk past the huge ballroom where everybody was in there eating just as much food as they wanted. There was buffets, and everything was happening in there. There's music playing. It was wondrous. And he just looked on from the outside in, always looking in and saying, man, what it would be like to be in there. And it got to about the last 5 days of the journey, and he ran out of sardines and crackers. So he did the spiritual thing and did a forced fast. He fasted the last 5 days as the boat entered into the docks. And it finally came into the docks, and people were lining up to get off. And one of the attendants on the boat, on the ship, stopped the young man, and he said, "Young man, I'm in charge of watching everybody on the ship to make sure that they have a safe voyage. And he says, one thing that I noticed about you is that I never seen you eating in the ballroom. And the young man looked down and he says, well, sir, he says, my ticket was bought for me. And I didn't have the money. I didn't have the money to partake in the ballroom. And the man looked at the young man and says, young man, let me see your ticket. And the young man gave him his ticket, and he looks at the ticket and he says, man, young man, this ticket paid for everything. This ticket paid for everything. How many Christians are going through life having our identity stolen? That on his ticket, he had the identity that offered him to experience everything that the ship had to offer. But because we let Satan, we let the world, we let our circumstances steal their identity from us, we go through life not experiencing everything that the ticket, everything that Jesus has provided for us. Satan wants to steal your identity. He does not want you to know who you are. In Isaiah 5, verse 13, it says, therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We need to know the word of God, what the word of God says about us if we're going to be free. And what the Word of God says is that when he died, we died. When he was raised, we were raised. When he ascended, we ascended. When he sat down at the right hand of God, we sat down. Ephesians says that we were seated with Christ in heavenly places. We can have all the ability of God on the inside of ourselves. And if we allow the enemy to steal our identity, you can die completely defeated by the devil. Excuse me. God wants you to be a billboard. God wants you to be a billboard. God wants you to be a billboard. God wants his children to be an advertisement for him. Right? Understand, there's some children that are prodigals. They go off and do their own thing. But when you look at kids, the first thought is, what's their parents like? Right? Sad but true, it is. It's true. What do people, when they look at our lives, what's our lives saying about our Father? How does the way that we talk and the way that we communicate and the way that we live and the hope that we have and the vision that we have for our life, what does that say about who our daddy is? God wants you blessed. I don't care what the lie of religion has told you. God wants you blessed. He wants you to prosper in all things, and be in health, even as your renewed mind is prospering. In accordance with how you start seeing yourself, as you renewing your mind, as your soul's prospering, then the prospering of your flesh can take place. It corresponds with one another. So how does this happen? How does it happen? In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. when we hear the word of God and what God says about us, faith comes. Faith comes. When you hear the word of God, right now as you're hearing the word of God preached, faith is coming. It's come to you. Will you embrace it? Or will you reject it? Will you embrace it and take off your old identity and put on your new identity in Christ Jesus? Because when we do, when we embrace what God is saying about us, as this is ours, this is my identity, then the grace of God is able to go to work and bring the manifestation of the word of his promise to pass in our lives. If he said it, that settles it. If he said he's our provider, then God is our provider. If he said that he is our healer, then God is our healer. If he said that he is our righteousness, then God is our righteousness. And if God said it, that settles it. Let God be true and every man a liar, even if that man is me. We need an attitude adjustment. Faith will give you a major attitude adjustment. Faith will give you an attitude that you will charge the gates of hell with a squirt gun. Alicia, can you please come up? You might think that these messages are repetitive. You might think that it seems like you're saying the same thing over and over again. You know what? I'm going to say it until you get it. That we need to discuss other things you might be thinking. And as kindly as I can possibly put this, you are absolutely wrong. You're absolutely wrong. Everything that is wrong with you, everything that you don't like about yourself, everything that you don't like about your kids, everything that you don't like about your wife, everything that's wrong in this planet is because of a false identity that Satan has sold us. Where the truth that we believe is not God's truth. See, all paths will lead you to God. But truth is not a subject. Truth is not a set of ideas. Truth is a person. Jesus is truth. And anything outside of him is a lie and will lead you to destruction. See, all paths lead to God. And we will all stand before the throne one day. But not all paths lead to life. Only one way leads you to truth. One way leads to the life that Jesus came to give us. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. He is truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Sounds pretty straightforward, doesn't it? Jesus is truth. And God predestined us to be in Jesus, the predestined one. Jesus was the predestined one from the beginning of time. And God, the will of the Father was always for us to be in Christ, to find our identity in Christ. This is where we find our identity. We find our identity in him. And any other identity that you set up is a false god. It's a lie. It's no different than Adam and Eve trying to become their own God by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's the same thing over and over and over again. And we need to humble ourselves and realize that God is love, God is truth, that he is perfection. And that's where we need to find our identity. Humanity needs to find their identity in Jesus. You know, I heard something this week that just confirmed the way that the vision that we have for this church and this community and everything. And a gentleman was talking about the biggest lie that the church has been sold is this statement that in the last days, the world is going to get darker and darker and darker, but the church is going to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because you can't have darkness and light coexist. The world is either going to get darker and darker and darker, or it's going to get lighter and lighter and lighter. It can't be both. The only way that darkness and light can coexist is if you take a shield and put it over the light, so that it's light underneath the shield, but outside it's dark. See, we need to get an identity. And what did Jesus say about doing that? He says, would someone light a candle and put it under a bushel, a basket? No. You take it out of the basket so the whole room can be filled with light. And we as a church, we have to see ourselves that we weren't created to go to heaven. We were created to bring heaven to earth. And we need to change the way that we see ourselves and change the way that we have our identities and change the vision of our life. And let our light shine and bring light into the whole room. Jesus is coming back for a victorious church. He's waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Who's going to do that? We are. We're going to change our identities. We're going to start living in that new identity. And we're going to change our communities. We're going to bring light into every dark area, because darkness cannot coexist with light. You can be in the darkest room, the darkest cave there is, and light a single match, and darkness flees. Amen. You are the light of the world. You're a city on a hill. You're a beacon of hope. That's your identity. Amen. Well, we're going to pray, and after we pray, we're going to say goodbye to our streaming audience. We thank you for, if you're out there tuning in, and just be blessed in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for our identity that is in Christ Jesus. We thank you that we're not orphans. We're not neglected. We're not abandoned. We don't have to search for our identity. We don't have to find ourselves, because you are the one that we need to find. Because when we find you, we look in a mirror and see ourselves. This morning, if you're sitting here and you're wondering, you know, who am I? What's my purpose? Go look in the mirror of the Word of God. Go look at Jesus. And as you look at who Jesus is, start speaking over your life, as He is, so am I in this world. As Jesus is, so am I in this world. That's your true identity. That's who you were created to be. You have a unique personality. There's no one like you. But your true identity is in Christ Jesus. You are like Jesus this morning. So, Father, we embrace our true identity in Jesus. We take off the old man, we put on the new man, and we walk in the life of Christ, in Christ Jesus. We just pray this, receive it. Holy Spirit, seal it in our in our DNA this morning, that we would see ourselves in our true DNA in Christ Jesus. We just love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.